The adept incarnates is and is established in that which is perfectly attractive, to which beings should be attracted, and in which they realize their true condition. They become blissful through attraction, through the force of attractiveness, you see. And when they submit themselves to it perfectly, then every aspect of the stages of the way, all the kinds of transitions that I consider with you, occur quite spontaneously. It's not that you just practice a yoga of being attracted. You do all the things that are associated with our discipline. But the essence of it, the driving force of it, the essential content of it, is this attractiveness and the fundamental quality of your life, to the degree that you are really involved in that practice, is enchantment.
It is you completely, Master. It's completely evident to me that I'm being lived by the very being of you.
So whenever this pile of flesh here is, you see, it is transfigured by the being that lives as it, and changed in various ways and seems in various ways that are even perhaps in human terms attractive. But what you are drawn into, what is attracting you, what is enchanting you, is the living presence of the divine, that in which you stand, that which is omnipresent and all-pervading. And this is the unique significance of the appearance of an adept, but that which is absolutely attractive is incarnate, stands before beings and draws them into relationship. Simply stands in relation, and relations develop. Beings become attracted, you see. And simply lives as a center of that hive. Simply stands. Simply is attractive. And those who practice the way communicated in that company develop more and more the capacity to submit to the state of enchantment or attractiveness, to the point where they are absolutely enchanted by the state of that which is attracting them. And then suddenly, as if out of the sky blue day, without the slightest justification, they find themselves babbling the confession of the seventh stage of life. Who knows when it will occur? Nobody can account for it either. Suddenly, as enchanted beings, they are communicating to others the wisdom of absolute realization. They stand in the place of that which is attractive. They stand in the divine domain, you see? And they can say it is so, and show that it is so, without the slightest self-consciousness, without the slightest doubt, and without it being anything but absolutely true. Ordinary beings. How can ordinary beings come to the point of confessing this absolute, you see? Because you're enchanted. So how can I be anything else but your lover, you see?
Yeah, that's right.
Just radiant here with you. How can I do anything but settle in that which is absolutely attractive to you? And everything you're up to other than the fundamental force of practice is just a sign of your dissonance, you see, your self-holding, your self-possession. When you locate it, you discover that the essence of the way is enchantment. The essence of it. It is expressed through all the disciplines. It doesn't override them. It's not that there is some sort of enchanted way and then everybody else is inquiring or considering the witness position. It takes just that form. But the force that is essential to all of it is enchantment. The more enchanted you are, the more you allow yourself to be gravitated toward that which is attracting you, the more blissful your life and your meditation become. If you do that, then all these considerations we enter into, you see, are just sort of moments of the theater of change that you must go through if you're going to accommodate this attractiveness in your life. It requires you to do something different, you see, because you can't stand in those solid places trying to work out the usual egoic possibility. You can't do that anymore, so I consider matters with you that permit you to abandon those forms, to take the fundamental force of your life that is moving you into account.